Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by faith, you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourself, it is God's gift. Not from yourself, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Please be seated.
Well, good morning. It is good to be here with you this morning to open up God's Word. Together, for those of you that may not know me or we haven't met yet or you're here visiting this week or you're joining us online, my name is Jeff Gray. I'm a discipleship pastor here, and I want to echo the words of my friend and colleague Lee White at the beginning and just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. And so I'm grateful this weekend to have had my mother-in-law in town and my wife all together, and just been a good time for us to celebrate moms all over, and especially the ones I'm most impacted by. So just grateful for this time together. And something we can agree with, whether you're a mom or whether you are a parent or whether you have ever worked with kids or been around with kids or if you've ever been a kid, I think that probably applies to all of us in here. That can we just be honest to say that whatever manual we were given wasn't good enough? Right, the manual we were given about this is how you should raise kids, all the books that we read or thought about or talked to. I don't know about your kids, but I feel like my kids lovingly probably broke the mold of a lot of those instruction manuals, and we're still trying to figure out how to do that. And so I know it's always a challenge trying to figure out exactly how we raise kids or how we honor the Lord with the kids that we have, or if we work with kids. If you're a teacher, you know this to be totally true as well. And so just thankful for your efforts, your struggle as parents, and just all that you do there. And as we just think about that the idea that oftentimes we wonder exactly how we're supposed to raise kids or how we're supposed to do things, and maybe what we've been told has not been good enough. Something you may or may not know, but the last 14 months we've been in the middle of a pandemic. I don't know if you knew that or you didn't, or maybe you're tired of us talking about it. But one thing that we've noticed, we've talked a lot about here as a part of our staff and even just other pastors that I talk with, is that there was no seminary class, right, for how to pastor during a pandemic 101. Although I want to claim all the rights to that title of a course if it ever gets put into a seminary somewhere, which I'm sure at some point in time that it will. But I can tell you, as you have been trying to figure things out in your life, or what does this look like, what do we do next, what is happening, I can tell you as a staff and as pastors, we have been doing the same thing. And not that my experience is any different or better or worse than yours. We moved here about 2 months before the pandemic hit. And so as we were coming in saying, man, this is what it's going to look like for us to be a pastor here, to work in discipleship here, all those things kind of got blown up. And I know for our staff and our elders, we've been just praying diligently through this whole time, asking God really a lot of questions, but one of those has been, God, how do we pastor and lead well in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of all that's gone on, and being, as a country, divided in so many ways? How do we do that and do it well? And I only share that with you to say is I've been praying and asking God, how do I fulfill my role here? How do I honor you the best way that I can here at FBC in Warrensburg, moving from the South to a different culture in a time that was just very, very different? I mean, we had like 8 Wednesday nights canceled because of snow once we moved here. We were just not okay trying to figure out what this white stuff on the ground was. But as we began praying through and asking God, what does it look like? How do I honor you? How do I pastor and lead well? From that time, really, over the last 12 to 14 months, the Lord has continued to bring a passage back to my mind and back to my heart and has been challenging me, and I believe wants to challenge us today as well. And so I tell you that to say this morning, what I want to share and what I want to talk with you about is something that God has been just challenging me, but I also believe is challenging our church and challenging our body in. I think over the last 14 months, we have seen that it's been very easy for us to forget some of the things that are at the core of who we are as a believer in Jesus. And one of those, although not all of us have done this, one of those is the gospel. And so this morning, I want to talk just very briefly today about Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And if you take notes or you write things down, I think there's 3 things in this passage that we're called to do and 3 things that we need to pull our attention to. And that is, what does it look like for being saved? So one, we're going to talk about, like, what are we saved from? What does that look like? The second thing we're going to talk about is, what are we saved through? How are we saved? And then the third thing is, what are we saved to? Right, we talk about this when we walk through Exodus, right, of the same kind of deal, like the nation of Israel was saved from something, through something, and then to something. We see the same thing playing out here in Ephesians chapter 2. And so as we walk through this, I want to just challenge us this morning. If you're at home watching or if you're here with us, I just want to challenge us to see this and hear some of this morning with a little different ears and eyes. So we start out and we say, what are we saved from? We talk about being saved. It's a Christian word we use a lot, especially in churches. We talk about, are you saved? Have you been saved? Are we being saved? And the question becomes, so what does that really mean? What are we saved from? And so we talk about, as those who follow Jesus, we are saved from sin and death. He says there in verse 1 through 3, and you were dead in your trespass and your sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as others were also. And Paul begins, he's talking here, at least partially, to the Galatians. You were dead in your trespasses, in your sins, in which you walked. Our spiritual state, your spiritual state, my spiritual state, outside of Christ, is death. Good morality, religious affiliation, spiritual utterances, biblical understanding, while all those things are really good, they cannot, and they will not make you come back alive. Outside of Christ, our spiritual state is death. In fact, one commonality that we all have here today, no matter where we've come from or where we're watching from or where we are at today in our walk with the Lord, is this: either we are spiritually dead or we were spiritually dead. But now Christ has made us alive. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. He says in verse 2, not only were we willing to walk in sin, but we were willing to follow after the ruler of the air. We were willing to follow after Satan. We become sons, the NASB says, the sons of disobedience. Men and women characterized by people who willingly and longingly disobeyed. They're rebels against God's authority, who prefer to follow the promptings of Satan. In Hebrew, the understanding was these people are longing to be worthy to receive divine judgment. And I think it's interesting, he says you, and I think we can all attest to that, right? We all know someone who's the you, someone who lives next to you or works with you or you know or you see on a daily basis, and you say that person needs Jesus. Either jokingly or seriously, we can all say that, right? We know someone, and probably that person you can think of in your mind doesn't look like you. Probably that person in your mind didn't grow up the same way that you did. They probably have different morals, different values. It's also possible that they voted for someone else in the last election than you did. It's probably they think differently about justice issues, or they just think differently about a lot of things that you think differently of. It's easy to point the finger and say, look at these people. They were dead in their trespasses. They are no longer alive. They are spiritually bankrupt. It's very easy to make that distinction. In verse 3, though, Paul says, we were just like that as well. And I want to remind us this morning that it's not just these dirty Gentiles who didn't grow up with this religious background, but it was all people. We were all the same way. We have to understand and acknowledge that you and I were not morally pure on our own. It's easy to look at those around us and they don't look like us and they say, oh, well, of course they were, but it doesn't describe me. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, or I grew up in the South in the middle of the Bible Belt, or I've always gone to church, and I don't know, maybe you were born at church. I don't know, but like you were born, and so now like I've always just been a religious person. I've always just been at a religious gathering. I've always just thought about the Bible differently. I just do good things. I'm just a nice person. And what we have to understand is that there's no designation here on your upbringing or your background to say, oh, then that makes you now inherently more morally pure than the next person around you. You have to understand that our status before God then, before Jesus, was not bad, but not bad enough. It wasn't we were okay, but just not quite excellent enough. It wasn't that we just didn't barely miss the cut, but we didn't need to just be cleaned up a bit. We're a little dirty. We needed to, you know, Jesus had to kind of dust us off and wipe us off and get us back on our way. No, we read here that you and I were dead and we deserve death. And it's important for us to understand that today, because I think as Christians, we forget this very important truth. In fact, I think there's two lies that we believe very often today within the church as Christians. The first is we believe that we are not bad enough to need to be saved. Well, Jesus saved us and all that's great, but if I'm truthful, I don't know if I really am bad enough to need to have been saved. Do I need Jesus in my life? I was pretty good before I met Jesus. He's just kind of a little extra on top there. Or the other lie that we believe is that we are able to save ourselves through our own devices. Okay, maybe I was bad enough. Maybe I am deserving of death. Maybe that was the thing. But here's the deal. I can do enough things to cancel out all the red in my ledger. I can do enough good things to bring salvation upon myself. I can do enough things to earn my way. But all those things fall short. He tells us that you and I were dead in our trespasses and our sins. And there's a reason that we cannot earn that more of salvation. And here's the reason. Many of you this summer are going to have people who are going to come and knock on your door. They're going to be younger, and they're going to ask to probably mow your yard to earn some extra money. Or maybe they don't do that anymore. Maybe they're just going to come ask you to give them money. I don't know. Either way, someone's going to ask you to give you money and probably do something for you. They're going to mow your yard. And let me just tell you, I can tell you, say with 110% accuracy, that there is no skeleton and no zombie going to come to your house and ask to mow your yard for money. Do you know why? Because dead things don't do stuff. You're not going to see skeletons walking around. There's a reason we cannot earn our own salvation, and one of those reasons is that you and I are dead. That's our standing before God. We don't need, outside of Christ, we don't need to be cleaned up a little bit or to look a little bit better or to be a little bit more morally pure. We need to be raised again from the dead. That is who we are. You are bad enough to need to be saved. Isn't that encouraging as I'm home this morning to walk in and hear that? We are bad enough to need to be saved. And we cannot save ourselves. But there is hope in the midst of that. We need to be saved and we can be saved. So how are we? We see we're saved from sin and death, but how are we saved? We're saved through Jesus. All these things, we were dead in our trespasses. We deserved death. We were children of wrath because we chose to follow Satan and not follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 4, we read, but God. Two of the most incredible words in the New Testament put together, but God. The key this morning is just that. All of these things are true. We were objects of wrath, children who sought after wrath instead of seeking after obedience. This is who we were. Or maybe you're here or you're watching and you are in that spot today. But the key of this, but God. You were dead in sin, but because of God, you are now alive. Verses 1 and 5 tell us that. You were following and submitting under Satan, but now, because of God, you are seated in the heavenly realms. Verses 5 and 6. God's wrath here is coupled with his mercy and love and grace. God could have, and we deserve to get hell and to be dead forever in our spiritual life, to walk in death, to walk in trespass and sin. That's what we chose to do, and that's what we deserved to get. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead. And that becomes the base of the gospel. This passage right here in 4 through 9, really the main idea is, the main noun and verb of the passage is that God made us alive. And we see kind of three aspects of that. We were dead, we were dying, we were not righteous, we were not worthy, we were not able to do anything to change our standing, but God gave us incredible mercy. He poured out his rich mercy on us. And just to clarify, mercy is not getting something that we deserve. Not getting what you deserve to get. It's a stay of execution. A God who is rich in mercy, who is rich in giving us things that we did not deserve to get, or not giving us things that we did deserve to get. We deserve death, but through Christ we don't get that. Second is this, he not only in our death and our sin did he give us great mercy, but he went a step further and he saved us through his great love. Said because of his rich mercy and because of his great love he had for us, he made us alive in Christ. Not just did he love us, but Ephesians 1 tells us that we were adopted. It says he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Not only did he not give you what you deserved, not give me what I deserved, but he then decided to lavishly love me in order to make me a part of his family, to make me a co-heir with Jesus. But that's not all. He also lavished his grace upon us. Grace, a little different from mercy, as mercy is not getting something that we do deserve, grace is getting something that we don't deserve. So instead of not just not getting and earning hell because of what Jesus has done, and not just having to live in sin, dead spiritually, we were not only given the fact that we don't have to do that anymore because of the cross of Christ, we were now given this great love that Jesus has for each and every one of us, that we can be loved, that we can be adopted, that we can be chosen as children of him. But even beyond that, he gives us this grace that we don't deserve, to where now we don't have to earn or deserve our salvation, but his grace, he gives it to us all. We don't deserve it, but he gives it. Verse 8, he reminds us that it's not from ourselves, but it is from God. You're not good enough to earn it. You're not a good enough person to earn it or get more grace from him. Romans 6:23 reminds us of this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are given a free gift. It's not of our own, but it's what God has done with us. It's not by works, verse 9 tells us, so that no one can boast. You can't do enough good things to earn salvation just because you are dead. I'm finishing up some school stuff that I'm doing, and I had to submit this final project proposal. And so I get it all written, and I turn it into this lady who handles all the grammar stuff. And I'm pleased to say that I'm terrible at grammar. And so I turn it in, and I'm like, okay, here's the best I can do. This should probably be enough. And then she gives it back to me, and she says, it's not good enough, but it's pretty good, so change these things. So I change them, send it back to her. She gives it to somebody else, to her friend. And then her friend is like, no, this is pretty terrible. You should change all of these things. And so I make those changes, and I give it back to her. I'm like, okay, here it is again. I hope this is good enough. And they're like, oh, it's pretty good, but let's send it to one more person just to make sure that you feel terrible about yourself. And so they give it to one more person, and then they look over it, and they're like, oh, man, this seems adequate. So why don't you just do a little bit more work on it? And I just keep giving it up and saying, oh, I hope that this is enough. I hope that this is enough. And then one day I turn it in, and they're like, this sounds great. Totally approved. You're ready to go. Why don't you move on to the next step? This is not how we do salvation with the Lord. Hey, here's a little bit. Okay, well, maybe this is enough. Okay, that wasn't enough. Let's find something else. Maybe this is enough. No, this isn't enough. Maybe I can do this. Hey, maybe I can go to more services. Hey, maybe I can give a little bit more money. Hey, maybe it's possible that I can just be a little bit better father or a little bit better mother, or I can be a little bit better son or daughter, or hey, I can do a little bit better in school, or hey, I can be a little bit better, nicer to my coworker, and then I can earn the favor of God a little bit more in my life. Isaiah 46, or 64, 6 says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Assuming that you could earn salvation would also then assume that you would deserve salvation. You didn't do anything to earn it, because dead people don't do anything. You and I were spiritually dead, set apart, cast off because we chose to be disobedient to God, becoming children of wrath. That's what the first part says. We need desperately to be saved. And he says, but God lavished mercy, lavish love, lavish grace upon us. We can't do it, but he did for us what we could not do. Richard Cokin says, to know that I am saved by grace liberates me from the pride of imagining that I can save myself and the terror of realizing that I can't. To know that I am saved by grace liberates me from the pride of imagining that I can save myself and the terror of realizing that I can't. You think, see, everything this morning begins and ends in Christ, and salvation is no different. And what I want to hope to challenge us with today is not to just hear this as churchgoers and say, oh, that's nice, it's a nice sentiment. I wonder why we're talking about this on Mother's Day, or I know all this stuff so I can take some notes or take a nap or whatever. And the reality is, so many of us have missed this. So many of us have missed that this is where salvation comes from. And I'm not going to say that we don't believe it, but we don't really walk as if we believe it. Maybe we accepted Christ. We said, God, I place my faith and trust in you, and I want you to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. And then what we do is we turn around and we say, that's good, but I'm going to earn more salvation by doing this and this and this. And so all my identity, all that I am, and I would say all of my idolatry, is now found on something else. I can be religious enough. I mean, I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. If I was a better pastor, maybe God would love me more. If I was a better deacon, maybe God would love me more. If I was a better elder, if I was a better Sunday school teacher or gospel community leader, if I was a better parishioner who sat in the right pew, if I just had my pew with my name on it, then that would earn me enough to be right before God. And I think, believers, we have lost this, the weight of the gospel. We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning, because I think it's important for us to respond in some way to these truths. And so in just a second, our worship team is going to come out, and they're going to lead us in a time of response. So here's the thing. It's not 38 verses of just as I am, and we're going to do it until someone comes down front. But this is what I want to ask this morning. How would God have you respond to these truths? How would the Lord call you to respond? How would the Holy Spirit lead you to do that. I think there's really three ways that those who are watching or those who are here that we can respond this morning to this part. And then we'll come back and we'll finish out the section of scripture. But here's, I think, three ways we can respond. Maybe this morning you're hearing this and you're maybe not for the first time or maybe for the first time, and you're saying, you know what, I am dead in my trespasses and in my sin. I am far from the Lord and I cannot earn those things, and I've tried to do it, and this is the hole in my life. Maybe you've played church your entire life and never walked in a relationship with Jesus. And I would say this morning needs to be the time where we believe and place our faith in Jesus. Ask Him to forgive us of our sins, to be the Lord and the Savior of our life, to begin a relationship with Him, to move this morning from death to life. If that's you, I want to challenge you to respond this morning. At home or where you are, we'll have a time you can come and you can pray. I'll be here, I'd love to pray with you. Or maybe you are not there, you have placed your faith in Jesus, you have walked with Him, but over the last year or 14 months or several years or several months, you have just said, you know what, that's fine, but I need to do more things to earn right standing. I need to feel better about myself, so I'm going to do this and do this, so then I can be adequate enough, I can be righteous enough, I can be holy enough, to where then the Lord will accept me. He'll accept my offerings, He'll accept what I give, and I'm just going to be moral, and I'm going to use my morality, and we're just working and trying to earn our salvation, earn something that God has already done for us. Maybe that's you this morning, and if that's you, I would challenge you. Would you repent? Would you repent from making what you think is more important, to not make that important outside of the cross of Christ? And I think the third way this morning, if neither one of those two things describe you, you're not far from the Lord, you've not been doing those things to the best of your ability by the help of the Lord, this morning we have to celebrate this. You and I were dead. Dead. But now we are made alive in Christ. We need to celebrate this morning. So if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've been a follower of Jesus, and you say, hey, this is who I am. I don't place my hope in other things. Lord willing, every day I'm renewing that. I've already trusted Him as our Savior. Like, do we hear this in Ephesians 2? And does it excite us? Does it remind us of who we were, but who we are, more importantly? I'm just going to ask you to respond as the Lord would lead this morning.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.